too. So Laura became the shared supervisor of special services. And then our business administrator, we're like, well, here's another relationship we could possibly have. Our business administrator left to go to a larger school district. So Franklin had their business administrator, and I was like, well, why don't you come to Union? And so we shared a business administrator, and then we ended up one more year after that sharing our curriculum supervisor. So we ended up sharing four people within 2 years, which was a large cost savings to both districts. And then it just led to us just being able to do more innovative programs for our students and just have that benefit, the benefit for both communities.
We're actually also sharing more too.
That's right.
So along with all that, after that all happened this past year, we just started sharing our child study team. So that's within the realm of special services.
Oh, wow.
Special
education. That would seem like a total perfect fit too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then what about, like, I'm thinking about the smaller little bus that goes around and shares for the child study team. Do you guys have that? What grades? Kindergarten through?
We go to kindergarten up to eighth grade. Yeah. We can't share buses. I mean, the buses are, we actually have a relationship with North Hunterdon to share some of their buses, but so it's just not completely with Union and Franklin.
The only reason I say that is because if you know me, my son, Michael, he's now 27, but when he was a baby, he was actually tongue tied and he didn't, nobody told him that he needed a lingual phrenectomy, right? I never heard of it, but so he went through school district and they were teaching him how to talk. And then she realized that he needed to have his tongue uncut. Wow. Yeah. Long story short, he would get on the bus in Hillsboro and he would ride around to get the special services across the state.
Oh.
And he was only 4 years old and he was gone like the whole day.
Wow.
I'm not going to get off track. My funny part of the story is that later when he was able to talk and he got older in life, when we'd be driving to the airport, he'd go, "That's where the twins live. That's where he's in South Jersey, Tom, you know, wherever."
Yeah,
anyway.
Everybody.
So, okay. So buses are not something to share. But I do believe a child study team would be amazing. Yeah, because the professionals, and then they get to have the one-on-ones.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so that includes several staff members. It's the learning consultant, the social worker, psychologist, and one of our speech therapists is shared as well. So.
Is this a new thing? Like, is this something that you guys kind of created that you're trying to model across different counties and different schools within Hunterdon County as well?
Sure. Like, I mean, there are other shared superintendents in the county. There's quite a few of them. There's three of them, at least off the top of my head, that I know of. But I think we are the ones that are sharing the most amount of staff and other resources
in
the county. Yeah.
Well, then, as a taxpayer, to the person out there who's listening to this thinking, yeah, good job, congratulations, and thank you. Just wondering, like, what during the pandemic, because we're going to get a little bit more in detail about this. This is part one of two parts talking to these guys. So stay with us this week and next week. During the pandemic, and we're going to get more into the day in the life of, right? Do you guys have more time? Were that this double, like, you know, services, is working perfectly? Or do you have less time because you're managing people who are from home at work, you know, school and everything that's going on? Tell us all about it.
Sure. You want to go first?
I probably spend more time at school doing my job now with managing them both. It's a lot. You're taking, even though it's the same department, but you have two separate districts still, even though we do a lot together, you still have to do the same jobs for one district and you have to do it for the other as well. So I think the leadership, it's probably more work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the way that it's shared will create other things. So,
it's so efficient and it makes total sense on paper and everybody, I'm sure, is happy about all that. But I do, you know, think about you guys and how much work it would be, but it makes sense.
Sure.
And then I don't know about it, but like, tell us about the changes during the pandemic and what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, so last March changed the world, right? So we were, one day we were in person and then I remember it was a Friday the 13th. I sent out a letter to both communities telling them, you know, we're going to be gone for what we thought was a couple of weeks. So we're going to provide paperwork for students to do. We were going to give them iPads and things of that nature just for a few weeks, and then we will be back to normal. And then a few weeks turned into months, and then Governor Murphy shut down the state and told us, you know, we wouldn't go back to school the rest of the year. So we quickly had to pivot. And I think the good thing about having a shared team is that we can brainstorm and pull those resources together and make changes like right on the spot. And so that's been the cry is just flexibility and pivoting. That's been our theme for the last year. So we started off with just having asynchronous work, which just means students were just given work to do, and they were just had a certain amount of time to do the work, but it wasn't like live instruction. And then we realized we're going to be out, like we had to do something different. And then our teachers were really great about, you know, being videotaped in their own houses. I mean, they, through Zoom. I mean, that's just, I mean, you're letting the public into your private sanctuary, but they did a really great job with it. They learned how to do it. They taught students live all day long from their home, having their own children in front of them, having to balance that. So my hat's off to our teachers who have really done a phenomenal job.
How many staff between both districts or townships are we talking about, and how many students?
Sure. So there's three buildings between both districts, over 700 students and probably under about 100 staff members.
Wow.
Both. Yeah. But yeah, so we got into that. We were able to live stream instruction from people's homes. We literally, all of us got into our cars, drove to people's houses and delivered hotspots. Cause that's the other issue that we weren't anticipating. Hunter County being rural, it's not easy to get Wi-Fi and internet connection everywhere. So we had to think about that and drop those off. And our families were grateful for that, but we had to just stay on top of students too, because then it's easy for students to check out. Right. Cause it's just
no comment.
Yeah.
I wasn't in school when I was supposed to be in school. I can't even imagine if I didn't have to go to school to be in school. There is like no chance. I mean, hello. Yeah. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And not only to live stream, but they had to learn new platforms to deliver that instruction. So the teachers like picked up stuff like that, ran with it. They all helped each other. We, you know, quickly put together professional development so they could support each other, learn these platforms very quickly. It was a mountain to climb, but everyone super flexible.
It's incredible. It really is extraordinary that it came to this point where that now it's kind of the norm, right? And sure. It's like you guys are just kind of waiting to see what's next. But in the meantime, it's functioning and everybody's learning. I just remember my kids. Okay, Michael's 27 and Brandon's 24-ish. I don't even know. But anyway, yes, I'm right. But anyway, when they were younger, all of a sudden the math came out where people were learning math this way. Like, do you know what it is? You ever heard of it? I don't even know. All I know is when we lived in Baltimore, Michael learned the normal way. 2 + 3, you had to multiplication cards, all that stuff. Sure. All of a sudden one day he was like this at the table, like teaching Brandon how to, and the numbers were right. Yeah. I can't imagine because when us parents that are kind of hands offy to the school, we hand our kids to you. I'm not afraid to say it. I used to love it every day. But anyway, you know, now the parents are having to be a little bit much more involved in making sure that everything is being done. And I just can't imagine because some of the work, I look at some of the math and some of the stuff that the sixth and seventh graders are doing, and I don't know how to help them. Thanks for Alexa.
That's a great segue actually, because we realized that our poor families needed support because they're the ones who are really going to be instructing the students because they're right with them now. Mm-hmm. So we created a parent academy for both districts.
Oh, and, let's hear.
So we created video lessons for the families on how to get to Google Classroom, how to find their children's grades, how to find their assignments, how to navigate the different tools we were using because second nature for us is not for the family members who are trying to juggle. They're doing their job and helping their child.
Literally, Michael was appointed his like tutor, like from the first day for like 5 years. So just keep him up on whatever it is because we don't know. But right now I do know that the parents, I speak sincerely, I think are so grateful and understand what you guys have been going through and how you've been able to pivot is incredible. Because, you know, all of us, when you talk about having your parents at home or your teachers having videography in their homes, I mean, as a real estate agent, Weikert, Flemington, I'm Jeannie Murphy. we did the same thing, you know, like it was for open houses and stuff. Yeah. And all of a sudden you would see that people have things in their view of their home that are private. Yep. So, I mean, there's so much to think about. And I really do like what you're talking about as well with all the different types of programs that can be extended. And that Learning Parenting Academy is awesome.
And we keep building on it. We're actually still offering a session coming up. And we we ask parents, you know, what do you want to learn more about to help? Because we still have families who have actually chosen the route to have 100% virtual learning for their child this year.
Oh, yeah. Can you talk about that? Like, yeah. I don't have any young kids in school.
No, that's okay. Yeah. So at the end of last year, we went through the whole year, everyone was home. And then over the summertime, the administrators and the community got together and we created a reopening plan to actually get back to school physically. So both districts, we had two separate ones. Even though we have shared services, Franklin and Union are two still separate communities, and they have two separate issues and challenges to themselves. So we created a reopening task force. It took us pretty much all summer to come up with a comprehensive plan. And we opened our doors August 27th, in-person instruction, which didn't look like school typically did. I mean, so we had students 6 feet away from each other. They had their desks away from each other. They had to be masked all day long. But they were so happy. You could see, even though we can't see their faces, they were so happy to be in person and see their friends again.
Aww. Yeah. I just can't, I can't imagine, because I can picture the kids being so happy to be in that socializing and at the same time, how did they not rip off their masks, know? Like in all of it. I mean, that's for the younger ones, the kindergartners and stuff. Do you find that it is the new norm now? Like, are the kids totally like, this is the way it is?
Yeah, I mean, they've adjusted really well, too. You know, they came in with a hybrid program, so they were part-time at home, and then they would come in for their alternate days at school. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they came in ready for the challenge also. Some kids struggled with social-emotional issues. You know, it produces anxiety and, stress that way with, being isolated. But, again, with what Nicholas was saying, with getting back to school felt like bringing back some normalcy to life. Mm-hmm. So I think
the kids
were happy to be there.
Now, what exactly is the status today?
So we're in person. Franklin goes to school till about 2:35 every day. That's going to start actually after the break. They've been going early dismissals, 1 p.m., because we're trying to avoid lunches, because lunches seem to be the biggest challenge, because the students taking their mask off and trying to stay 6 feet apart. So Union's still going to be 1 p.m. dismissal for the rest of the
year. And what time they start?
8:35 in the morning. Okay. Yeah, 8:35, 8:45, depending on the district. But our plan for next year, again, to pivot, is to go return to a full day of school. You know, the CDC recently came out and said students can be 3 feet apart, or 3 feet away instead of 6 feet, which actually will help us because of the 6 feet, we've had to leverage some of the larger spaces. So we've had students who would normally be in a classroom in the gymnasium because we can't fit 20 kids in a normal size classroom. So that'll be more normal next year when we can have leverage, back to our normal classroom instead of these big spaces these poor kids have to be in.
Is there a person, and perhaps it's you, like that actually is constantly being updated by the CDC to disperse this information to keep everybody so up?
Yeah,
is that you?
It changes all the time. So that's
it's a full-time job
things,
in itself.
Like even going back to the spring, our principal at the middle school probably had to change graduation plans like eight times.
Yes.
So because different information was coming out literally weekly, sometimes daily, about, okay, here's the new rule, or they would take away a rule. So it's really constantly trying to keep up with all the changes of what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do.
I just can't imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine. Okay, good. We got plenty of time.
There were only two districts that I believe were K-8 districts that actually had a graduation, and it was both Franklin and you and had in-person graduation last year. It was difficult, but we made it work. Just made it work. Yeah.
Do you think that is there a plan to try to expand this to even more townships within your two, or is it?
Oh, with the share? Yeah,
like,
actually, so recently some legislation came out to make it easier for districts to potentially regionalize.
Oh, okay. Here's
so South Hunterdon was one of the first ones in the county to regionalize between three different townships. It took 10 years for them to actually go through the whole process. And a lot of it had to do with things like the debt service. Like, so one township would have to incur the debt of another one and split that, figuring that part out. That's always a challenge. And then the teacher's guides, like for instance, every district has their own salary guide for a teacher. So you would go buy the higher ones and it's negotiable. So then that could be a larger cost to another township if they weren't used to that. So some of those things are actually being worked on right now in legislation to try to remove some of those barriers. So if townships did want to regionalize, and have those savings that
it'll be easier. Because wouldn't they be able to buy, like, even the curriculums and stuff, like, in a higher quantity to get the price down?
Sure. Yeah, it's one of the things that we do. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so there's a lot of benefits.
Makes so much sense.
The curriculum, the technology, professional development. So it's even, you know, if we bring a speaker in that, you know, cost a couple thousand dollars, well, we can split the cost between
the three. Yeah.
So, and we both get
if you need
benefit.
Any speakers, make sure you let me know about my talented people. We represent a number of very talented people. It's interesting.
That would be the ultimate goal is to have one district. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we're close by, we're close in nature, but so we have two boards of education. So I have two board meetings at least a month.
Is that for South Hunterdon and North Hunterdon or something, or how does it work?
Yeah, so every local district has their own board of education, between 5, 7, or 9 members that are elected, and they're the ones who have to make the approvals on different things. Like, for instance, our reopening plan had to go to the board of education to be approved in terms of how we were going to go back to school. So if you were to have a regional district, you'd be down to one board of education with representation from each local township. So it's all about, you know, New Jersey is very big on, you know, home rule, local control. That's one of the underlying obstacles with regionalization is no one wants to give up their local control, which I understand.
Oh yeah. Just thinking about for one, you're going to create something that is going to eliminate some jobs. So on the front end, it looks like that, but it doesn't actually, because to your point, if you think about, in my opinion, the way that the kids are learning, that whole child study thing, the psychology about where are these kids going, I would think that there's jobs opening up that could be shared expandingly, technology and all of this.
For example, when you talk about programs in the special services area, so we were able to put more onus on and more attention to some special programs. Mm-hmm. So if we have some children that are multiply disabled, so we have a program at Franklin, and we, in the last year, we've expanded that program to include kids from Union that go there now, and also some other kids that are out of district. And at Union Township, we have a learning language disabilities classroom in both the elementary and the middle school. Mm-hmm. And we have children coming from out of district there. And, so we're expanding our programs, and we're able to keep the kids local. We're able to not driving around the county go to an out-of-district placement.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
costly. You're on a bus for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And you're able to be with your general ed peers. So there's a lot of inclusion, so they can go to, like, art and gym and technology with their general education peers.
Yeah.
So they can be – so even those kids with, you know, bigger challenges can stay in their local district. That's been – a big change and a great for the kids and a cost savings to the district.
Well, I'm thinking of it for, like, on the real estate side, again, it's a joke, but it's true. Like, people who are coming in from out of town and they're looking at the different districts and they know where they want to live and they know what they would like for the school system and so on. But the services you're talking about are so important, and they are, I think it's really exciting what you're doing, because I think also, when it comes to opportunity for the restaffing of what's happening, like if you were manning to a superintendent and you're doing this special services for both, then okay, maybe there was someone who didn't stay, but then you could focus on finding them something that they do very specialized and offer that offset, and then it actually grow the services for the kids and the parents.
Yeah,
there's just so much to think about, but I mean, if you're trying to kind of create the landscape pioneers that you are, you know, if it's not on, you know, Hoover Dam, then you're doing it on what's going to happen with the future. I constantly am asking the question when I see a child in a stroller who's, you know, wearing a mask, and I'm thinking that if this goes on and on and on for years and years, what are they going to, how do they think about not seeing a smile or what, you know? That way of teaching is got to be, you know, so important. And so you need to be able to kind of give everybody a little bit more time to focus on some things that you never had to deal with before And then you go back to the shared services approach where that you're able to do this, even if it's more work, and I apologize for that. But, it just seems like the right thing to do. Yeah. And then the cost savings on top of it.
Yeah.
What, can you tell us about the choice school program? Does this apply to you? How does that work?
It does to Franklin. Union is not – so the inter-district choice program was instituted years ago. And the purpose of it was for families to be able to send their child to a higher performing district or school that they were more interested in. They're no longer accepting any new school districts. So when I got to Union, that was one of the first things I tried to do was have Union be part of it. Mm-hmm. Because of a declining enrollment in Hunterdon County, we're trying to get more students, but they're no longer taking additional students in additional districts. But Franklin Township is part of it. So every year we get a set amount of seats. And I think this year we got 7 seats. So people who want to come send their students there just have to, there's an application process, and they can come from anywhere around the state, and they attend Franklin Township, even though they're not residents of the local of Franklin Township.
I'm not sure if this makes any sense because I'm really not intelligent about this, but I'm curious. Do you think if school remains from home online, depending on the day or year, will the choice program be kind of like offered? Because I mean, what's the difference, right? When you have I don't know. I'm asking you guys. Does it make any sense?
Well, I don't know that the choice district will change, but we've actually had conversation. Like one of the biggest challenges our poor teachers have are students who are in front of them, the in-person ones, like Ms. Marchese was saying, but then we have the hybrid ones. So the kids who are virtual at home. So there's two sets of students that the teachers are trying to work with. Mm-hmm. And that's their biggest challenge because you have the students in front of you, you're trying to get attention to, and then you have students who are at home who you're trying to give attention to. That's
right.
That's not an easy thing for them to do. So as superintendents in the county, we were talking about what can we do to support those students better and to help our teachers to focus on one set of students. So one thing we thought about was maybe we'll pool our resources around the county and just have certain teachers in the county work with those students who are only virtual, because then take that onus off of our teachers so they can just focus on the in-person ones. That's a big lift we're working on, and it's 27 districts in the county.
Really? Wow.
And lots of schools there, but I mean that's one thing that we're trying to think outside the box. Is we're anticipating that the pandemic is going to continue, and the current way of life with how students are coming to school is probably going to continue. Governor Murphy did say that he said he wasn't going to allow virtual students, but he clarified and says for next year he is going to allow students to remain virtual. So we still have to service those students who are not going to be in person. So that's what we're trying to figure out right now.
Do we pay, like, are you guys, when you're using the platforms and it's like going from the classroom to, virtual, do you have to like subscribe to some of these platforms and pay tons of money in order to get the education there? And is it kind of like offset by not needing the physical materials some or how, where does that budget come from? Is that part of your shared savings?
Just part of our normal budget. I mean, what we try to use is things that we would normally use in the classroom anyway, that can be used both ways. Cause we didn't want to do that to our teachers and to say, here's a brand new platform for you to use and figure it out. So we didn't want to do that. So most of them are subscription based, so it's like per pupil cost.
No, that's great. I mean, thank God they have it. Because you didn't have to build that. That would have been a real pain.
And they will share between both. Yeah.
So what about you? Like, can you tell us about some of the most favorite projects that you're working on and things that you think are making a difference?
Well, I am very proud of the programs that I talked about before, our multiply disabled program and our LLD. But I'm also,
what's an LLD?
The learning language disability.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and one of the great things I think we've done is I had been on a kick to get all of my special education teachers and our paraprofessionals that work with special education kids trained in Orton-Gillingham. It's a multi-sensory approach to reading, and with all the staff trained, it's been our kids have been making a lot more progress, and having all the paraprofessionals trained has made a huge difference. So as the teacher does a whole lesson, they can separate out with the paraprofessional, can take some of the students on the side and sit there and do the drills with them as well. So it's great to have everybody across the board trained that way. So that's been really great. Another thing I do is gifted and talented also.
So, oh, let's hear.
Yeah, so I kind of run the gamut of special services from like gifted and talented, English language learners, you know, special education. So with the gifted and talented program, the board, I was so excited, let me rewrite the board policy of how we deliver the program or criteria that we set. How the kids get into the program, what they do in the program, the teachers we hire, the training, everything. So we revamped that whole program. And since then, now Franklin is now doing the same thing. So Carrie Foote, who's our curriculum supervisor that we share, she's and the principal, Lindsay Goditis, over at Franklin are now taking our model and implementing it over at Franklin. So they're just doing that this year. And then with that too, the kids can interface with each other as well as the teachers and share resources, things like that. So that's been,
Tell us the story. We love stories, right? Don't we? Like, can you give us a story without naming a kid by name or anything of a gifted and talented student? Like, how do you find who they are? Like, what happens that you guys start to say, hey, this person's on our radar? And then what is it about them that they do? Give us a good story.
You have a good special ed story.
I guess for the gifted piece of it, most people think, okay, what's a gifted and talented student? Is that just that high achiever, that high intellect? That's part of it.
Okay.
But the other piece of it is just really that creative child, that out-of-the-box thinker, who just is really thirsting for more all the time. So it used to be our old program used to just capture the kids that did well in school and were bright. And now we're capturing a little bit a broader, but it's actually a more inclusive program by capturing those out-of-box thinkers. So we actually, the criteria that we're doing, we still look at grades and standardized test scores to see where they fall, but we do some other testing and assessments to see who's going to get into the program or not. So it looks at really creative abilities and perceptual abilities, things like that.
Like,
so,
what's a creative ability like?
What's a creative ability? So again, it's like their ability. So like one of the tests is a profile for a creative abilities where you get a little piece of a drawing. There's like 9 of them and you have to take that little couple lines and make a new picture out of it, something that nobody else would think of.
I love it.
So
it's like so fun, like the beautiful mind type of thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's amazing. Yeah. I can picture, like, you know, back in the old days or something, if someone got like a star on their math quiz every week, they would be like on the top. But now, like you say, it's out of the box thinkers. These are young people that are able to do something totally different with something. And you guys recognize that.
Yeah.
And yeah, go ahead. It's totally fun to hear about. Make sure you tell everything you want to make sure you talk about today. But yeah, go ahead. It's just fun. I think it's interesting. It's my show.
Yeah. No, and it's great to go visit the classrooms. So they come in early to school a couple times a week. So we have teachers that come in an hour early. The students come in an hour early, and then they have their time with them. And they do a ton of hands-on activities. They do, you know, some typical stuff like speech and debate and things like that. But we also belong to a Hunterdon County Consortium for Gifted and Talented Children.
No.
So in our area, there's other school districts that belong to it. So pre-pandemic, we also shared field trips with the Gifted and Talented Children. So they would go on different – so we would do a debate together, a STEM day, going down to art museum and things like that. So,
that's so cool.
Yeah, so we got to share that way as well.
Love it.
Yeah.
It must be fun. And I mean, if you just see these brilliant minds, and again, the ones who are actually on the lower side, opposite of that, you need to help them more, you know, then you've got the shared service going and the training.
Yeah.
What else?
Another great program to talk about is our Junior Academy.
Okay.
It's like a school within schools, what we call it. So we model ourselves after like the local Polytech school in Hunterdon County, who has an academy for computer science, and they have an academy for biomedical
students.
So we partnered with them, and their high school students work with our elementary students, and they go through the design thinking process. And part of that is the students, they try to find a real-world problem in the community that they can solve, and they create a prototype, and then they deliver it to this organization to fix their problems. One problem that they had was a at our local hospital in Hunterdon County and the Hunterdon Medical Center was their patients were getting out of bed and they didn't know. So they wanted to create an alarm for so when patients do get out of the bed quickly that the nurse on call can understand that that person shouldn't be walking around the hospital.
So yeah, and they get angry and frustrated being, so they want to get up and then they fall.
Yep, so our students created a prototype for that. Even in
What was the prototype?
It was just like a little alarm that they made when then there was just a light on it and it buzzed when somebody moved.
Yeah.
The kids made that with the high school students.
I love
students.
It. Well, it's like the apps and stuff. I mean, the kids can come up with ideas like you're talking about out of the box that you didn't even know you didn't have a need for. And yet it's like simplifying, but that's really cool.
That was a fun one. And they had a look at the dog shelter, the animal shelter. They were looking for an indestructible dog bed because the dogs were chewing up. So the kids came up with a prototype on a dog bed that dogs couldn't rip to shreds. So little things like that that they got to go through the design thinking process and got them to collaborate with high school students. And it's for those students, again, like Laura was saying, that maybe don't do well in school, but have that out-of-the-box creative thinking. Now they like coming to school. And that was pre-pandemic. And now during the pandemic, we're still doing it. We're just meeting virtually for our meetings to collaborate with the high school. So we're still able to do it just a little bit differently right now.
That's so cool. Well, it's so important, I think, the way that you know things are different. I'm a lot older than you, but back in our day, you went to school and you learned what they wanted you to learn, and then you finished. And it was like, But now it's like you're trying to get into the minds of the kids that they should love and be engaged in what they do naturally. And it's not work when they do what they love. And, you know, to your point, just the out of the box thinking and God knows we need it to let them just be able to just blossom into great people and everything about it.
And that's to your point. What we've also done is try to create different spaces in our buildings. So we have innovation labs in all three of our schools, and the point of that is to have these creative spaces where when kids go in there, they're like they think differently. Like the walls are purposely like in orange and different like creative colors.
Oh, fun!
We have a flexible seating there for students. If they want to stand up, they stand up. If they want to just relax and sit on a really fun modern seat, they can sit there. Wow. We have writable surfaces so kids can just write on the walls and things like that. So again, it's just. When you and I actually, we're not that age difference there. We had this, right? The desks were in rows, which they kind of are now for the pandemic, but we don't want that, right? We typically just want kids collaborating and being able to have fun while they're in school.
It must be so different, like to just think about how much it is different from the old days for you guys, you know what I mean? With the way that the schools are and the way that you're teaching.
Yeah,
and what do you think is on the frontier, really, of the future? As far as I get the consolidation, I think it's awesome. Yeah. I love it. I think that the cost savings makes so much sense, and the quality of you know the educators to the students. Other changes in the general education models that you can think of that are going on.
Well, one larger project we also talked about. Countywide is if we weren't to regionalize completely and become a K-12 county, that's a large lift. We thought about doing maybe specialized schools, like so. For instance, like one school can be like the technology school, and kids who are excited about technology can go
there.
That's
so cool.
One with science. We talked about little things like that to start doing. Mm-hmm. That was pre-pandemic, but we're also still thinking about it because again. We have students who have so many different learning abilities and learning styles that we can really take advantage of. And we have all these, some districts with declining enrollment have extra buildings. I mean, there's one district 5 minutes from us, which I won't name just in case, but they have two buildings and they don't need it. So instead of getting rid of that building, maybe we can leverage that space.
Well, that's total out-of-the-box thinking what you guys are doing. It's really, really cool. Yeah, absolutely. What about our other states? Do you follow, are you in an organization of superintendents and special services or anything like that kind of get guidance from other states that might be doing programs like this? And has it been going on, or are you guys kind of the forefront of it?
Well, New Jersey is the top state in the whole country for education.
We're
number one.
What? What?
Yeah,
say that again.
New Jersey is the number one state for education in all of the United States. So
absolutely.
We're the top state. So they should be coming to us for ideas.
Wow. No, see how we like do our Little Mermaid thing, and we uncovered something very important just now. I did not know that.
Yeah, we're the top dog. Yeah, Massachusetts and us are always like one and two.
Wow.
In the last couple of years, we beat them out, so we're number one.
So now this adds another layer to like congratulations and how great your out of the box thinking is, because that really is something.
Yeah, but Nicholas is always, I'm going to brag about you for a second. Yeah. He's always looking for opportunities. It's how do I make my district better? Like he's doing that constantly. So he's really supported by both boards of ed. Strongly, they trust him to make those decisions. But he's always talking with people. So you get contacted by RVCC, say, hey, how would you like to partner to have some student teachers in or kids that are working on getting their occupational therapy or speech therapy or physical therapy certifications, just are looking to see how do those students can come in and help our students. So he's always looking for partnerships and how to innovate, you know, what we're doing, how to make us better. Like that's always on the forefront.
That's so great. So, it's so nice when you have a leader that you respect so much and that you actually able to share that with us. We know Nick is a great guy and he's my brother-in-law. Yeah. So, and I'm so proud of him because I will be driving people around in real estate and they'll be considering the school districts. And then as soon as I know they're about to say it, then they'll say, Nicholas Diaz. I'm like, he's my brother-in-law. Yeah. It's always good. Yeah, but you know what? And now tell us about you, because I know, did you just finish another education level or you're still doing?
No, I'm working on my doctorate still.
Doctorate? Yeah, still, my goodness. Still, yeah.
Laura and I are going to get our doctorates
together. I'm all but dissertation.
Wow. Wow. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thanks.
So really talented people here representing our school townships and districts.
We're working on it.
Yeah. So tell me, we still have a couple more minutes. Okay. We actually have 20 minutes. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so for the upcoming school year, again, the hope is that we're going to come in and we're going to have a full day of school at both districts. Like I said, the biggest challenges are the lunch periods and things of that nature, but some of the challenges were our teachers being concerned about not being vaccinated. And
I wanted to ask
there's actually a county-wide effort right now to get all of our teachers in Hunterdon County vaccinated by the end of the year. So we've had about
end of the year, meaning May, June.
Because your
school year. Now, do you have plans to have summer school? Like, is it year round school, like you were talking about, or what?
Yeah, we do actually. That's a great segue to Laura has great summer programs that that we're hoping to expand upon. So they have
So we have two different programs. We have one for the special education students. So there, they have to kind of qualify into extended school year because of their individualized program.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be expanded this year, too, to provide more opportunities. Because, you know, and for as much as I think we do an awesome job through the whole virtual learning, there is some learning loss a little bit because it's just not quite the same as being in person. So we want to make sure that we are making sure that the kids are getting the education they need. So we're going to be offering more opportunities for all kids this summer. So we also have an intervention program, too, that's going to be offered to anybody that just is not quite where they need to be in math or language arts or reading, and to be able to offer those programs to come in for a few hours each day in the summertime for about a month and offer services that way too. So,
cool.
Yeah, and we'll be doing that between both school districts and we're going to house it all in one building. Again, so that way we only need to have one nurse instead of two. And,
wow.
And the kids can have a little bit of an opportunity to meet children from, you know, their neighboring district, even though staying still socially distant. We're excited about that.
Yeah. Absolutely. What about, like, I'm just thinking about things like you guys being updated all the time on the CDC and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But then you also have... You have to look at trends too. Like I'm just sitting here thinking about, like, I know it's a little bit older than eighth grade, but back in our day, you would learn typing and there were like 2 years of typing, four semesters of typing, 1, 2, 3, and 4 on a typewriter.
Sure.
But now people don't type. Do you teach typing anymore? Like what other things trend-wise do you see the young are going to be changing? I'm just curious, like bilingual or is that the norm or what?
That would be great, actually. But in terms of the typing, our students, kindergartners, you give them a Chromebook, they open it up, they know exactly how to use it. I mean, they're just super
savvy. The kindergartners and preschoolers.
They're great. They really do. They really
I know. It's just too true. I mean, seriously, a lot of my people and my friends and myself have to ask the young ones, here, can you tell me, my mother, how do you get on text? I mean, whatever. Yeah, no. That's so funny, though. So what about, like, a bilingual thing? Like, what is that about?
That's always been a passion of mine, actually. When I was a teacher, I was a bilingual teacher, and we had a dual language program in Plainfield. And so what that looked like is a teacher partners with another teacher, and one teaches the native language of, you know, English, and then another teaches either Spanish or Mandarin or whatever language that the district wants to introduce. I mean, it's a fantastic program that happened in Plainfield. It's just a commitment. But if families were open to it and they committed to it, you have children who start the program at 6 years old, and by the time they get to high school, they're fluent in a second language
and
that they never would have.
That's
before.
An investment in their future income.
It's amazing, yeah.
And that just goes right back into your shared services thing. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because you could actually really put that in there, because it's like in the spaghetti sauce, in the sauce. You got one teacher over here, one teacher over there, and they both get to actually maximize that ability to a lot more people.
You gave us
the
an
kids.
Idea today. Look at that. You gave us an idea.
I know.
Uncovering stuff. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Hey, just leave it to me. I got it. No, anyway, yeah. So, no, I that's what we say. We're swimming underneath the rocks and seeing what's there, because it really, there's so many things that are making so much sense that you guys are talking about. And I just think it's amazing, because Union Township and Franklin Township, I think are, and I could be wrong, but aren't they a little bit less populated than, like, I want to say, Raritan Township or whatever, right?
Yes.
So you have the ability to kind of step back and take a look at this stuff and be able to do the quality work that you're doing, and then be able to share it out, which is what you're doing, which I think is very generous of you guys to come in today and talk about it.
Absolutely.
Because it's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's one of the things we try to do, is we're all in education because we want our students to have the best opportunities that they can. So whether they are Franklin Township students or they're Delaware Township or whatever township they're from, if something that we do can benefit a child in another district, then we're all for that.
It's just funny, because there are public servants, you know, and there's nurses. There's my sister Julie is a nurse, kind of thing, and she's all about it. And it's so funny, because the DNA of people are so different. You know, you're educators, and this is your thing. Real estate, Weikert. Yeah, we're all different, right? But it is funny, because we do need to thank you guys for all the work that you do, because it does seem to get just kind of thrown out there, and we don't get to hear the updates like we would like to know. It's kind of interesting to me when you're talking about this as superintendent level. You know, I'm more of a corporate type of person, sure. right? So when I'm thinking about how this delegation of your, you know, you're like the CEO, and you have the sales department and the marketing department and all the other, you know, community service, all into that. And so it's cool that you're able to do that job and you on behalf of both of those districts and make them stronger.
Laura gave me a compliment. I'll give her one. I mean,
right.
It's all about having a great team, really. I mean, none of these things would be possible if I didn't trust the great people that I have working with me. I don't consider myself their boss at all. I really consider that we're all colleagues, and I learn more from them than I think I can ever offer to them. I love Jim Collins, right? So you hire the best team you can and get the heck out of their way. That's what I try to do. I mean,
Say that again slow. For all those people.
Hire the best team you can and then get out of the way. It's like, get the right people on the bus. And if I don't know where the bus is going to go, they'll tell me where to drive the bus. And that's what they do all the time. They're outside the box thinkers. They're hard workers. They're passionate. They're there till 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. Sometimes I'm home changing diapers, and I'm like, hey, Laura, what are you up to? She's like, oh, I'm just finishing a report. I'm like, what are you doing? Go home. I mean, they're just.
It's nice when you have the superintendent or the president or whoever, whatever the person's job title is, to respect that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, a lot of times over the years, I've interviewed a lot of people, and a lot of times the leaders are spending tons and tons of money, to your point, education, speakers, to bring in to try to figure out what the problem is. Mm. And 9 out of 10 times, I am not a genius. I can sit there and say, I know what the problem is. It's the leader is not getting out of the way of the people. So when you're saying that, it's just so awesome, because it will be thriving, right? Everybody gets to do the best at what they do. And that's when it's the four-hour work week, my dream. When you do something you love, you don't have to feel like you're working. Then, and especially if it's a fulfilling career where you're taking a child through the future and what they're going to end up being in their life and knowing what they love. And then again, with the bilingual thing, I mean, you know, it's supposed to be really, really lucrative, you know, for that. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Sorry, but
yeah,
just because it's, you know, there's just a lot of need and demand for people who have that ability.
Yeah. Maybe you talk about doing it for the right things. And like I just told him the story the other day. So my favorite thing is when I get notice from an email or a call from a parent of a child that graduated, from college or something. So I got an email this past year of a child that was a special education child who had a lot of difficulties, behavioral challenges, very difficult, and learning challenges on top of that. And I got an email, and the mom was like, "Hey, I thought you'd like to see this." I was his case manager at the time. So I started off as a school psychologist there at the district, and had a picture of him. He was valedictorian of his college class.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was a picture of him in his cap and gown, and then also a picture of him with his girlfriend. So it's because he had a lot of problems with relationships growing up. And I was so incredibly proud. It was an excellent family. They, did everything to support him as well. But those are like the things you love to see, and your students really, grow and become those, adults that have healthy relationships and get a job and, are successful.
Yeah. And we feel your, passion. And we love the stories because you can't teach or tell a story without it being that impactful as a real story like that. Cause that would be something. I mean, yeah. When you get an email like that from the parents, it must be so awesome. And yeah. And even like later when you see the kids and you talk to them later, I know mine, I'm going to shout out to mine. Her name was Susan Rubin. And I know Colleen and Lisa and me and my group of people back from high school, we were like the Breakfast Club bad, but our leader teacher, Susan Rubin, love you, love you, love you. Unforgettable. Forget it. I was a rebel, if you can believe it, but she knew how to teach us and keep us being rebels, but in a positive sense. And she was able to just take the whole class and make them all feel extra special, to the point where that if I had to recall five names of teachers otherwise, it would be difficult. But she's like in my memory forever. And same with us. We talk about her all the time because we just love her. There's just certain things about certain teachers that the children, you have so many. Each one will remember their experience, and for you to be parts of that, and if you're that to all of them, because I could picture kids walking down seeing Mr. Superintendent, Mr. Diaz, and you, they would just love it. And it's so great when they love school.
That's okay. Our goal.
And that's what you're saying about the virtual going in, seeing them smile when they get to get back in the classroom and stuff like that. That's just something else. Yeah. Anything else you want to tell?
No, I just grateful for being back in person this year. It's been way better than it was last school year when we were all home. And I was looking forward to keep expanding upon what we're doing and ask parents to be patient. I know that they want their children in all day long. They've been really great. I have to give a shout out to the parents who they've been more flexible than ever. So thank you to all our parents and again, our caregivers.
They definitely do deserve a little shout out there because I know I have some friends in the office and they've got young kids and their life is so much different than ours was back then, and it's like just between the vaccinations and the teachers and how to teach them and what to do. It's good. Well, it's nice that you guys respect the parents as much as they respect you.
Yeah. And I have to thank our boards of education. We have two separate boards of education. We have 15 total individuals between both and they're great. I mean, if it wasn't for their support and their out of the box thinking, none of this would have been possible.
Quick thinking. Decisiveness.
Yeah. The pivoting thing, like you're talking about, I can't even imagine. I just can't even imagine.
No, it's just not an easy job.
And it's not just about the idea of having to make this happen, but then you have 1,000 individual souls and each one has a different issue or if it's positive or negative or whatever it is, to consider in that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, believe me, we don't underestimate your work, I guess I should say. I know that's probably true. Right. And so we just want to thank you again.
Thanks for having us. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you.
We're looking forward to part two.
Yeah.
We'll be back to you with the title and so on. If you want to watch, maybe it's next week, perhaps.
Perhaps. Yep. So we have, we have three principals in between both districts who are brand new principals, actually. This is actually their second year, but they're during their first year, the pandemic hit. So they were three brand new principals when the pandemic hit. I mean, so they have a very unique story where their first foray into administration, they had that on top of it, trying to figure out how to navigate the waters in the pandemic. So So that would be the next part, yeah.
We'll bring
one or a couple of them on the show.
Day in the life of a first-year rookie principal. That sounds like fun to me. I like it. All right. Well, anyway, I think we're wrapping up.
That's great.
So, again, thank you guys for being here. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out on Facebook. I'm Jeannie Murphy, Weikert Realtors, Flemington, New Jersey. If you're looking to buy, sell, or rent, please get in touch with me. I'm Special Agent Murphy. I will clean your house for you in order to help you sell it. But, again, these guys are our pride and joy of the school systems here in Union and Franklin Township. And thanks for watching in. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.